Genesis chapter 18. If you wish to follow, page 17. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour, knead it, and bake some bread." Whew. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Mark 10, verses 17 to 27, the rich young man, and can be found on page 1014. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The third reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. It's on page 1177, 1177, the armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andy, Julie and Mark. Lord, I just pray for Tim now as he brings your word to alive for us from these readings. Lord, just open our hearts to receive the message for us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Andrew and the readers. That's something to live up to again, Andy. Thank you. Today I chose Faith for the Impossible. Forgive me, my glasses, I haven't had a chance to repair them yet, but they do balance on there. Waiting for God to answer our prayers can be very difficult. We plead for God's intervention and fumble for the right words that might touch the heart of God in a way that we haven't done before. We find ourselves in waiting seasons, living between prayers that we've prayed and hoping for God's answer. Some grow accustomed to wait and hold on to their belief that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, while others believe it will never happen. This is where Sarah found herself. She too was familiar with waiting at the waiting place. For several decades of her marriage, she had waited for God to make her a mother. Scripture offers us a glimpse into how this waiting impacted Sarah. In verse 2, Sarah suggested Abraham sleep with his maidservant to build a family through her. Sarah's unimaginable actions were her attempt to obtaining the offspring she longed for. She was driven to manipulate the circumstances of her life because she saw no other way. Sarah described herself as old as she questioned whether she would have a child the following year. This phrase in Hebrew means worn out and decayed. She had more faith in a physical condition than she did in the word of God. God challenged Sarah. He responded to Abraham in verse 14 by questioning, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Despite Sarah's disbelief, God kept his promise. She became pregnant and bore a son whom she named Isaac. This promised child was the embodiment of what Sarah perceived to be too hard for the Lord. Is there anything in your life that seems impossible? Lingering for days and sometimes years, these things tempt us to believe they are beyond the reach of God. It may be a sickness, a financial need, a wayward family member, or a difficult relationship. No matter what it is, or how God chooses to bring about a resolution, things that seem impossible are possible with him. Although we cannot control how or when God answers prayer, his words to Abraham speak to our doubt as well. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
The answer to this question is a resounding no. Nothing is too hard for him. He is able to do what seems impossible. So believe in him today. In Mark, we have all things are possible. Most of us like our world to operate in a predictable way that we can control. We know what's important to us and we accept our limitations. Days fly by, it's quite agreeable, and till suddenly everything changes. We hardly recognise our lives at all. It can feel as though we have fallen into no man's land. We have no grid for understanding how we got there. It's similar to Alice as she tumbled into the world where the Red Queen lived through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll. She responded to a new situation when she is asked to believe impossible things. Alice laughed, just like Sarah. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," the Queen said. "When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." In this excerpt, Carol manages to shine a light on one of the bigger issues of our Christian experience. Alice is like a lot of us. She sees reality of the world and cannot see how incredible things are even possible. Her mind is finite and fixed, and it tosses the miraculous over the side and declares it's impossible. Now, the Queen admits she may not do enough now that she is older, but somewhere in her younger days, she was able to believe many things even before breakfast. What keeps you from believing impossible things? What causes you to imagine the world is rolling along almost without hope? What if we believed what Jesus told us? With man, this is impossible, but not with God. We will begin to trust that no matter how things look, God reigns. When you experience the bleak moments of life, look up and see the one who offers you his grace. Reach out to your Creator, the one who makes all things possible. God knows all that is possible for you, and he wants you to know it too. Just say it out loud. All things are possible with God. And when peace feels impossible, I went to Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 4, and I'll read it now for you. "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah, for we have a strong city. God makes salvations, its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." Our feelings can be fragile props when it comes to making decisions. It is only the truth of God's unchanging word that keeps us standing on solid ground, even when life can feel as though it is falling apart. In the verses I just read out, it shows us the solid foundation we have when our strength is focused and found in God himself, a strength he gives his people so they can fulfill his purpose for their lives and this world. Where does this supernatural strength come from? One of the keys to understanding this passage is found in knowing that the prophet Isaiah is looking forward to the end of all things. Isaiah knows why, while things may not be great right now, God promises us his plans are good. He is moving us towards that day when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He has planned for our peace. But we aren't just promised peace on the other side of eternity. Isaiah tells us we can experience and walk in strength and peace today. God can keep us in perfect peace for those whose mind is stayed and steady on God. The Hebrew word for the phrase stayed on that's used in this verse means to uphold and support. In other words, those with minds that are kept, upheld and supported by God's word, who trust in him, will be in perfect peace. It is an encompassing peace. It is God, by the power of his indwelling spirit, giving us a strength to face whatever comes our way. God is always doing more than we can see or imagine, working all things towards good. You'll one day rejoice in, and that will give you perfect peace here and now. In the Ephesians readings, living in faith when things seem impossible. What do you do when you've been hurt, betrayed, or offended? It is in these moments that living out the commands of Scripture to forgive and turn the other cheek seem cruel and unrealistic to consider. What Paul teaches us is that people aren't our real problem. The devil is our real enemy and has devised an all-out assault against us. Yet we are told in Scripture that we can take a stand against the schemes of the enemy. Verse 11 of today's passage reminds us we need to put on the whole armour of God so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. The word can in Greek means you are powerful enough to do this, or it can be rendered you have the power. We may feel powerless in our situation when the enemy stirs up storms in our lives, but we aren't powerless. We are victors, not victims. The key to be aware of this, as knowing this is true, is where our power comes from. Paul instructs us in verse 10 to be strong. This is a passive voice, meaning we are made strong by the Spirit of God. We don't do it on our own strength. There is freedom in being aware of this, because it means that God isn't calling us to find power within ourselves so that we can overcome the battles we face. The reason we can be strong is in the Lord. Excuse me. The reason we can be strong in the Lord is because the very same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Our awareness of God's power often rises and falls on our willingness to do what God's word says to do in times of conflict. It's often when we don't want to live out God's word that doing what God says is a defeat of the enemy. Hurt feelings don't want to cooperate with holy instructions. But there's nothing more powerful than a person living what God's word teaches. We must remember that true victory lies in our willingness to walk in obedience to all that Scripture asks us, even when it doesn't make sense and even when it feels painfully impossible and unjust. God's word is good, and it's for our good. He has not left us powerless to live it out today. So put on the whole armour of God and stand in it. There's many examples of waiting in the Bible, and it seems to be that God uses this as one of his favourite tools to get our attention. Noah waited for rain. Daniel waited through the night in a lion's den. David waited in a cave. As we heard earlier, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the arrival of their promised son, Isaac. Joseph waited 13 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Moses waited 40 years to be called by God. Paul waited in prison. And even Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry, although he was well equipped well before. Sometimes waiting for God to do what we believe is impossible, as the scriptures prove. The waiting is well worth it. Even when I personally know I find this extremely difficult. Listen out for God's passive, quiet voice. It may be a whisper. Now let's pray. Sovereign Father, we come before you in heaven and receive the words of your instruction for us. Paul instructs us in verse 10 to be strong. This is in the passive voice, meaning we are made strong by your Spirit. We don't do it on our own or in our own strength. We invite the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and equip us to what he has called us to do. Where is God asking you to step out and take risks in obedience to him this week? Lord Jesus, may we all be more obedient to your still small voice. May we speak what you want us to say and go where you want us to go to help the least, the last, and the lost. May we be obedient servants and children so that you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Thank you, Tim. If you feel you are waiting for God to answer your prayer, I would like some additional prayers. Perhaps have a quiet word with Tim and myself afterwards, and we'll happily sort of sit beside you and pray with you.